bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Tiernan Brady is here to have a chat to us. And Tiernan, you'll get it by his accent, Tiernan's from Ireland. And he played a very, very important role in the vote in Ireland on amending their constitution to allow for same-sex marriage. And he's here in Australia to help us prosecute the argument. Good morning, Tiernan. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I don't sound like a Sydney person yet, no.
Not quite.
I'm afraid not, Tiernan. Still sounding like a an Irish person.
But that's all right. My surname's McCarthy, so that's all right. Now, Tiernan, we were discussing earlier, all three of us oppose the plebiscite predominantly for the harm it will cause to our communities. What was, in terms of Ireland, it seemed to me to be a very civilised campaign, but that was only on the surface. There was a lot of vitriol and nastiness happening, wasn't there, during that campaign?
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the process can be difficult when people are discussing our rights. And, you know, a plebiscite was required constitutionally in Ireland. It was a legal requirement, and that isn't the case here. The reason we're facing a plebiscite is because of the world of politics, or potentially facing a plebiscite. And there's no doubt the journey in Ireland was fabulous and it has become incredibly affirming and, in a way, opened the door to all LGBTQI equality on pretty much every issue, because once the people put their imprimatur on something, no political party or no politician ever dares challenge it again. But that's the experience can be difficult for people. But we were very aware of that the whole way through. And we put in place an awful lot of resources in terms of helplines to make sure, you know, people had access to services if they felt they needed. We had counselling available for people who canvassed. As it turns out, canvassing was an incredibly empowering moment for LGBT people, because it was something they'd done together and collectively, and they went out to communities and made the case for marriage. So, you know, we were very aware of what people could be exposed to. The only thing I'd add, though, as well, all the time is, in a plebiscite, what would happen is people who oppose equality find their volume switch and turn it up, because this is their last chance to stop us being equal. When it isn't a plebiscite, we still do have to listen to that noise. I mean, there was a book launched in the New South Wales Parliament by a rabbi during the week as a guest of an MP and against marriage equality. And, you know, being gay was compared to incest and bestiality. And there was no plebiscite on when that book was published. You know, and so, unfortunately, we live with this terrible damage all the time. And I hope politicians, as they discuss the impact that a plebiscite might have, might pull themselves back a few steps and go, well, actually, this is an impact young LGBT people, older LGBT people have lived with all their lives. And whilst most of us are incredibly resilient and strong, you know, there's still a need for good services to support LGBT people now, whether it's a plebiscite, whether it's a public vote, whether it's a piece of legislation.
So you almost talk about this situation with the plebiscite as though it was kind of an opportunity to sort of paint the country in rainbow colours. Do you think that it would have had a similar... Do you think the rhetoric following the decision would be the same if it was a no vote?
Well, I suppose the first thing, it means the rhetoric in Ireland is pretty similar to the rhetoric here.
Uh-huh.
And the really interesting thing about it is, you know, if you listen to the rhetoric that we're hearing currently around people who are against marriage equality, the only issue they don't mention is marriage. Because they're pretty clear that the Australian people are for marriage equality. Every single poll shows that. So they're trying to talk about other issues, you know, rainbow agenda and culture wars and safe schools and transgender bathrooms and surrogacy and adoption. And of course, you know, that's all very dishonest and very disingenuous and very frustrating for all of us. But of course, there's hope within that too, because the reason they're using all of those misdirections is because they know they've lost the argument. They know that Australians, just like Irish people, by and large, are for marriage equality, and most of us just want people to get on with the issue. Whatever pathway politicians choose, it's time to deal with it. If we have polls at 65% saying we're in favour of this, you know, what are we waiting for?
I mean, it's to me, Tien, and I, look, we agree. The problem is the government is committed to a plebiscite. I'm not going to use the word mandate because a one-seat majority ain't a mandate. But the politics of it are what are going to destroy this. The reality is, if the Labor Party and the Greens vote against this in the Senate, along with a couple of others, it's not going to get up. So we won't have a plebiscite. Can I put you on the spot? Do you want there to be a plebiscite, or do you not?
No, I think if this, I still think this is avoidable.
Mm.
I think the most important thing is justice delayed is justice denied. And I think when we talk about marriage equality being achieved, I think lesbian and gay people, LGBT people, should never send a message out to our opponents that says we can wait. So I think Parliament needs to do its job. And I think my preference, and we've said this consistently all the time, is that this would be done by a free vote of Parliament. But either way, the one thing that's very obvious is that no political party by themselves is able to deliver marriage equality for us, either by parliamentary vote or plebiscite. They have to work together. And the one thing that isn't happening is the one thing that LGBT people need for marriage equality to happen. Politicians have to reach across the aisle and engage with how they will make this happen. So that, because at the moment, we're just being moved around a chessboard by all the political parties.
Yeah, it's a shell game.
And they're all having, you know, real fun with their press conferences doing it. And the only people who aren't benefiting are us, whilst they play the game. And, you know, in the process of playing the game, the only thing that isn't being spoken about is why marriage equality matters.
It's Tess here. Let's assume that the Greens actually proceed and not support a plebiscite. I'm assuming that that pretty much means that it's just not going to happen, provided that Labor actually support them. What next? What do you think will happen? What will be the next sets of things or activities that will actually unfold in Canberra?
Yeah,
I'm asking you to do a bit of crystal ball gazing here, of course.
Sure, isn't that fun? I mean, the one thing that I felt since I got here is, you know, LGBT people have been served up a terrible political scenario by all the parties. And the clarity and the pathway forward isn't clear. So the government, which has their majority in the lower house, has said, we will not support a free vote without a plebiscite. And, you know, the growing numbers of senators in the upper house are saying, we will not support a plebiscite. So the really terrible scenario that we could be faced with is nothing.
Yes.
And then we have to stare through at least 3 more years, because, of course, politics is a funny game. We have no idea who wins the next election. At least 3 more years of an emboldened Conservative opposition who will have seen this as a huge victory. They won't be quiet. They're not going to go, OK, now it's off the agenda. Let's not put out our, you know, misdirection and our anti-equality rhetoric. They'll keep doing it. Probably with a much louder volume switch, because there's nothing like winning, and they will see this as a win.
Yes,
to get their, you know, to get their troops all riled up and find their volume switch. So, I mean, the real challenge for us as we do the crystal ball gazing is that, unfortunately, the only thing that's clear is nothing will happen at all unless the political parties do the one thing they're not doing currently, which is talking to each other. And a few less press conferences and a few more cups of coffee to work out how we will get equality for LGBT people at a time when there's a majority in Parliament and a huge majority in the country. And so I know this is the bad answer to that one. On a crystal ball currently, you know, there's an increasing likelihood that nothing happens.
Tina, it's actually affirming exactly the conversation that we had before we started this morning on air.
I'm interested to know why. I mean, isn't it better to wait until we have the right government to make a decision that's less damaging? When you talk about emboldened conservative viewpoints, did they disappear after the yes vote in Ireland? Surely they didn't all go away.
They've been wiped away by the tide. Unbelievable. The polling rating now for marriage equality at home is, you know, somewhere around 90%. There is no politician in the last general election who set out a stall. Not one politician, even independent conservatives, to say they were against marriage equality or they would dare say they would repeal it.
That's amazing.
Not one politician who put any policies against transgender people.
What about the columnists? The journalists, what about their voices?
I think of the main columnists, and we have a couple of real doozies at home. I don't know
don't
if
we all
were here. Yeah, so we have a couple. I think on the anniversary of the first anniversary of marriage equality, we had one columnist write an article going, it's not something we should cheer about. But even that article didn't say we should repeal it.
Yeah.
So the will of the people is the will of the people, and there's nothing that can reverse it. And the other question that you had, and I think it's a really important one for us, is, you know, is it ever better for a minority group to say we can wait for our rights? And I don't think it's a sentence we should ever be willing to say that, you know, especially when we know Parliament, through whatever pathway, has the capability of delivering this now. I mean, if I was ACL, we officially say we're okay to wait. I'm pretty sure the ACL can put that on the first sentence of every single press release they send in the next 12 months.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Yes.
We're out of time, unfortunately, Tiernan. We will have you back again because it's a discussion the whole Australian community needs to think about, and particularly our community.
Yeah.
I thank you for your passion and your commitment to this. It's not easy moving to another country, but you've done it for absolutely the right reason, and I really admire that.
And needless to say, Tina, our switchboard is absolutely inundated with comments this morning from our listeners. So this debate has certainly very much engaged our communities. There's no doubt about that.
And I know we've only got 2 seconds, but let's make sure that's the positive, that we're really mobilising, that we're really talking about this.
Yes.
You know, let's talk about marriage instead of process. You know, at home today, if everybody listening just spoke to their family members today, that's a change in itself.
Yes, yes.
Tiernan and Brady, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.